Yeah, he's in bright and early, Paul Kent. Good morning, mate.
Good morning, Slats.
You're a busy man. You're talking a lot about the league, and this morning we're talking about another player stood down, hopefully not for long, but it's a bizarre incident, it seems.
Well, he's bitten, well, as you do, you go out to the nightclub, you see a pretty girl, you bite her on the leg. I can't explain it. I don't think anybody can explain it.
I tell you what,
if you're in there at the integrity unit and you get, you know, the little red phone on your desk rings, it's like the bat phone. Here we go again.
Yeah.
What's happened this time? Oh, mate, just one of our players, he's bitten this girl on the leg at the nightclub. Yeah. I just don't see how you can
fall over, wouldn't you say?
What? Put all this together. Like, it's anyway, look, the integrity unit will, they will now basically look into the matter and they'll make a decision at some point. St. George Illawarra have done the right thing. They've stood him down until it's been resolved. But it's a hard one to actually say, what do you do? Because it's just so stupid, to be honest.
Look, non-sporting conversation, sitting at home last night, watching the news with my wife, Kenny.
Yeah.
And this story
sounds romantic.
Very romantic. No holding hands, you know me. She goes, what's wrong with these guys?
Yeah.
And I've had to just look and shrug my shoulders. I can't explain it. This keeps coming in. Morning, boys. TK, my wife said exactly the same thing. We have a young family looking at our kids starting to play sport. She looked at me and said, I hope you don't think your son is playing rugby league.
Yeah, I know. And that's the issue.
If they want to grow the game, this behaviour has to stop somehow.
Well, what clubs don't realise is for every parent out there who's making that decision whether they want their kids to play rugby league, they see their little, you know, blonde-haired, blue-eyed golden boy, quite innocent in his attitude to life, and think, do I want him, by the time he's 22, 23, thinking it is okay, thinking it is socially acceptable to walk up to a woman in a nightclub and bite her on the leg or to do any of the other myriad of things that have happened in the past? And that's what rugby league still hasn't got so far. And the other really pertinent issue here is, and the AFL are really targeting fans, and I've written about this in the Telegraph today, that they've got a specific agenda about trying to grow their game. Mm. And what they've done, they've separated their fans into six separate categories.
Mm.
The biggest category are the two in the middle. Mm. And they're the people who can like the sport, but don't go every week. They're not the rusted-on fans. Yeah. They're not the people that ring in here who just love their club and they're there every week.
Mm.
They're not the people who never go to a game and stay home. They're the people who go to probably 8 to 10 games a year. They've got the disposable income, and they're saying to those people, we want one thing from you. Just come to one more game a year.
Mm.
Now, there's 2.3 million of those people.
Yep. Mm.
So suddenly there's 2.3 million of those sorts of fans who will come to the game. If they all go to one more game per year, that turns into enormous revenue, but they're also then bringing along their children and hoping they turn their children into the rusted-on fans. Rugby league, through these types of incidences, have got the same demographics, maybe smaller numbers, same demographics, yep, but rugby league is turning those people away. That big growth area for a rugby league fan, they're the ones saying, you know what, we're not going to follow this game.
Mm.
Mm. No, I mean, it's an issue. It's a major issue. That actually sounds like a plan that the AFL has.
A couple of our listeners have sort of said, yeah.
You know, whatever happened to that strategic plan?
Yeah.
You know that long, yeah, it was in the third drawer of the cupboard there for a long, long time, that strategic plan. Maybe they need to pull it back out or just borrow. I'm happy enough for them just to borrow the AFL plan.
Yeah.
I mean, I think,
honestly,
really, some of their behaviour you can sort of say, well, booze. They're out there on, you know, changes.
It's the common
personality, and you do all these daft things. I mean, do you know, Kenty, how many of the clubs are running a no booze through the season policy?
No, none of them are. None of them are.
So they're treating them as adults.
They do it
responsibly, all that sort of stuff.
They treat them as adults. Look, and that's the difficulty, isn't it, of this, because they are grown men.
Yes.
But every incident, and there's all sorts of myriad of incidences that have happened over the years for example, people tweeting things they shouldn't be doing, people doing things in nightclubs they shouldn't be doing. But everyone involves alcohol.
Yeah.
Every single one of them. And they're the ones. And if you could just wave a magic wand over and say no more alcohol, rugby league would grow exponentially.
Mm.
Because within the broader public's eyes, and see, players think you're giving them a hard time when you're critical of them about this, because you know why? All their experience with fans is positive.
Yeah.
Good on you, mate. Well done. Don't listen to that dickhead at the Telegraph. Mm. No one listens to him. Mm. And mate, but they are the rusted on fans.
Mm.
They're the people who, through rain, hail, or shine, are going to be there every week.
Yes.
What they don't see are the fans, for example, TK's wife, who say, you know what? No, not again. Yeah, for your readers, your listeners here who just say, that's it.
Mm. Yep.
We're not going.
Had enough.
I had a bloke last year, former State of Origin player. He's a member at Cronulla. He played at Cronulla. When he woke up in the morning, he looked at his phone. He saw a photo of Todd Carney, and his 11-year-old son came out in his footy gear ready to go to the footy that day. And he said, mate, I'm telling you, if Cronulla don't sack this bloke, we're not going to another game.
Yeah.
Now, he's an Origin player, former Origin player.
I want to get to interchange shortly, mate, but let's take Rod. G'day, Rod.
Flats, TK, Kenny, how are you guys?
Good, mate.
Listen, my job as a media manager down in our Bombardier Jets, Kenny, I'm always telling these young fellas, get off Facebook, be careful when you go out drinking and stuff. And you're right, the main precursor for it is alcohol, because I can't sit there and tell that young bloke not to drink that beer. Now, we've got a bloke in our club, he's 40-odd years of age. When we go out after games and have a drink with him, when the young 20-year-old bloke is drinking with the 40-year-old bloke, it's totally different, right? But as soon as he leaves, the behaviour changes.
And that's the issue that the club has got to come across. I know a few years back, Manly actually had a security guard who, when Des was there, would go out with the players.
That's right, yeah.
And they weren't in trouble. They actually would not get in trouble. And it sounds extreme.
Well,
but
that ended in tears, Kenty.
It did end in tears.
You know, it ended in tears. I mean, yeah, they're grown-ups, really.
That's the main point, TK. You know, look about 90 footballers at our club, right?
Yeah.
We've got to expect one or two to go off the rails. Mm. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. Now, if we down here in the local bush footy club, if we tell a player he can't drink, they're all going to go. We won't have a team.
No. Well, they're playing more for fun, aren't they, Rod? And that's that's the social. I don't want to compare the social footballer really to the fully professional footballer, because if someone, professional, if you went to a professional swimmer or a professional track and field athlete, mm-hmm. and told them some of the shenanigans that went on with the professional rugby league player,
they're not professional.
Mate, they're flabbergasted by it.
And what they also can't understand, those people, is that the footballers drink so much. Given that they're supposed to be professional footballers, like, you wouldn't have Sally Pearson, for example, getting on the drink because it's Sunday night and she's had the weekend off.
No, exactly.
No, it's a different mentality. It's a culture. It's a culture, and Other codes have had that culture as well. I think when I started in the cricket, the culture was boozy.
Yeah.
But now the guys wouldn't be drinking much at all. They'll celebrate.
Lemon tea now.
That's right.
Is that why you're retired?
I'll tell you what it is. It's high-end champagne now when they drink it. Completely changed.
Chow latte.
All this talk about the interchange, Kenty, you would have spoken about it on NRL 360. What are your thoughts?
I think it's magnificent. It was interesting watching and listening to Martin Taupau there saying, you know, we're playing in touch football or what. Well, he's in trouble because he's at the moment playing for the Tigers and he's now starting. And on the weekend, he played 18 minutes. And Jason Taylor said, look, we're trying to get more minutes out of him. Mm. So his game is under threat. But we need to bring back the football to the football.
Mm.
At the moment, this is the great benefit that this will provide. At the moment, because defences are so fresh and are continually being refreshed, the minute your big guys that don't have the aerobic capacity start to knock up, and they all wear heart rate monitors now, so bear that in mind. So what will happen, player will have a heart rate monitor, there'll be somebody in the grandstand next to the coach with a computer who gets it in the data in real time, who will say, if you do not get Martin to power off within the next two sets, his performance will dive because he'll go beyond that point where he can't keep backing up his performance. So coaches go, okay, get him off now and we'll get someone else on. So there's never any fatigue players left on the field. So what we're seeing is continually fresh defences. So what we're coming up as an attack then, well, if we want to play against this, we need to try and manufacture ways to get through the defence. So we're seeing all these block players and all these moves out the back where they're trying to artificially create holes in the defence. And what that's doing, it's taking away the off-the-cuff player or the instinct player, plays what it's in front of him. And we saw Jonathan Thurston a couple of weeks ago continually getting bashed by Bo Scott. Mm. And the smart player would have said, well, okay, if you're defending here, I'm going to go somewhere else to play and I'm going to start playing on the other side to get away from you and to get around you. But because we're so structured, Jonathan Thurston couldn't move. Mm. So he just had to keep running the poor old Bo Scott. Bo Scott's fresh. He keeps knocking him over. What we can do, we're going to get away from that. We're going to suddenly start having fatigued players in the defensive line. You're going to get a bloke like Cameron Smith who will look up, he'll see that player, and he'll say, righto, boom, and he'll go at the player. And then they'll play football around him.
Great to have your company on the Big Sports Breakfast. Really looking forward to it and taking your calls. There's a few text messages saying if Jamal thinks the game's going soft, why doesn't he run harder? And that's the sort of thing that's coming back. Jamal, fitness has always been a little bit of a question mark with Jamal. As we have this debate regarding interchange, it's always about self-interest. There'll be some coaches with their squads sort of thinking, well, I've got to recruit different players now. Mm. And not only that, they're going to have to train their players differently. But I think we can take it as written, there will be a change in the interchange.
Oh, no doubt. There'll be a change. And look, I sympathise a little bit with the coaches, but by the same token, every squad is basically a carbon copy of the next one. You've got many players that can play 35 minutes, you've got so many players that play 55, 60 minutes, and you've got so many 80-minute players.
Yeah.
It only varies one or two between each squad, so I don't think it's that big a deal. I actually think Jamal Idris, he should be just stood down from talking sometimes because I don't think he actually understands what it's about and what the consequences are.
Yeah.
To come out and say that this will make the game softer.
Yeah, no, I don't get that.
I don't get that at all.
No, I can't see anything soft about it at all. Be there when the first thoroughbreds battle it out this April for the championships, the grand finals of Aussie racing. Celebrate two sensational Saturdays of racing, socialising, dining, April 4, 11, the championships at Royal Randwick when Sydney comes out to play. From the Clinique Pampa Lounge, Shandon pop-up bars to the world-class gourmet food precinct of Little Sydney. Book now and receive 25% off general admission at theraces.com.au.
Mate, the attendance, I know you referred to your article this morning. NRL not happy with what was printed the other day by Buzz, but I'm sure they're the figures. They're down slightly.
They are. It's just a massive... it's become a massive issue because what was interesting, I found particularly interesting, was the response from readers about that. There's just a lot of unsatisfied or dissatisfied customers out there about the way the rugby league is. The whole game day experience is just not up to it. I remember talking to Steve Noyce some years ago and he said to me, he said, the television experience has outgrown the live experience. Mm. You get much more now to stay at home, and there are a myriad of problems with going to the game these days, from parking to the cost to get in, to the cost of eating and drinking and feeding the family, the cost of actually getting a family in. Like, it's okay for a 25-year-old man who's a single bloke to get along. He's got his disposable income. Good luck. But when you're a father and you've got the wife and three kids, suddenly get in, it's a $250, $300 a day. Mm.
Yeah, you got to try and repeat the experience at the ground. I mean, people say about the atmosphere, well, you can debate that all day. That's another show, isn't it, how great the atmosphere is live at the game. But you've got to provide them everything they can get at home plus that atmosphere on top. Mm. And currently our grounds just aren't good enough to provide what you get at home plus the atmosphere. You're making that effort to get your backside off the lounge, and I'm guilty of it on occasions as well, and thinking, you know what, I've got other things to do. It's pretty good here.
And it's as simple as this, though. You turn up, and I know that they're almost, I don't want to say they've sold their soul to the broadcasters, but the broadcasters dictate what time this kickoff, and the broadcasters are all about maximising their dollar and their income from their broadcast. But if you're a fan and you turn up for a 7:30 kickoff and suddenly it's 10 past 8, and they're only kicking off then. Mm. Well, hang on. You're looking at your program. You're saying, you think the game's late. Channel 9 or Fox Sports always knew it was going to kick off at that time because that's
correct.
But the point is, you're sitting there with your kids thinking, well, I've got to get home tomorrow. And it's as simple as one bloke wrote in yesterday saying, I'm sick of my team being on every Friday night. He wouldn't mind a Sunday game, but from a ratings point of view, Friday night's when they rate.
That's it.
So I just think the game's really got to start addressing the fans' needs, and there's a real vacuum there of interest.
Good stuff, mate. That's half an hour. It's just gone like that.
You blokes like that when I come in because it just goes flies by, doesn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Mate, great discussion. Always enjoy having you.
I just
in
like
here.
Seeing you. Yeah.
Coming tomorrow?
It's half time in the soccer too, Kenny. I know you're rushing off to watch the second half of that. It's 1-1 Germany up against the Socceroos. Thanks, Kenty.
Thank you.